Welcome to day 113 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're in the Fifth Commandment looking at the Civil Magistrate, chapter 23 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, and we're in section 3, which largely has to do with what we would think of today as the separation of church and state. Section 3, the civil magistrates may not assume to themselves the administration of the word and sacraments or the power of the keys of the kingdom of heaven, yet he has authority, and it is his duty to take order that unity and peace be preserved in the church, that the truth of God be kept pure and entire, that all blasphemies and heresies be suppressed, all corruptions and abuses in worship and discipline prevented or reformed, and all the ordinances of God duly settled, administrated, and observed. For the better effecting whereof he has power to call synods, to be present at them, and to provide that whatever is transacted in them be according to the mind of God. This part of the confession is very difficult for Americans living in the 21st century for two reasons. First of all, it has a lot of scripture verses that are used, and it's hard, I think, for most American Christians to understand how the Westminster Assembly is using these scripture texts. Second, it's difficult because we live in an atheistic state, some say a secular government, but basically that means an atheistic government. And in 1648, when this catechism was written, or the confession, there was the view that the governments were under God, which was, of course, the view of the America's Founding Fathers, but it is no longer our view today, and most of us have grown up in a secular culture, and so this is all very different. A lot of study could be done on this passage, not just to understand what our doctrine of church and state is, but also to understand how to apply the scriptures that the Westminster Assembly uses here. So we'll just set out the teaching of the confession and leave the discussion for the blog posts and comments. The first section, the civil magistrates may not assume to themselves the administration of the word and sacraments or the power of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This is your traditional separation of church and state, which most Americans today would agree with. Here are the verses, 2 Chronicles 26:18, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Compare this with Matthew 18:17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Hebrews 5:4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Pretty simple, really. The civil magistrate, the king, the president, the city council, may not administer the sacraments or preach and teach the scriptures. The second section, the second phrase of the section 3 of chapter 23 of the Westminster Confession of Faith is a little bit more controversial, and the verses can be a little bit more controversial in that we're not sure how the Westminster Assembly is understanding all of these verses. Here's how it reads. He has authority, the civil magistrate, and it is his duty to take order that unity and peace be preserved in the church, that the truth of God be kept pure and entire, that all blasphemies and heresies be suppressed, all corruptions and abuses in worship and discipline prevented or reformed, and all the ordinances of God duly settled, administrated, and observed. Now, historically, it might be interesting to note that in the 1500s, like particularly in Zurich, Switzerland, where Ulrich Zwingli was one of the first Protestant reformers, that his view was that the Mass, the Roman Catholic Mass, was not scriptural, but that it was wrong for the church officers to stop observing the Mass and to start observing something that might be more Protestant by way of the Lord's Supper until authorized by the City Council of Zurich. And the confession here in some ways echoes that thinking by saying that the civil magistrate has the duty to make sure that reformation takes place in the church. So this is an interesting position, and Americans are uncomfortable with this, and that's why American Presbyterian churches have many of them, if not most of them, have amended and altered and rewritten this section of the confession. But we're looking at the old confession and the way it was originally written. Here are the proof texts for the second part of the chapter, of this section, section 3. Isaiah 49:23, kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Psalm 122:9, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Ezra 7:23, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all thy king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Now remember the background. This is when Israel was coming out of captivity, and this is the decree of Artaxerxes the king. So one could say he's a pagan king and doesn't know what he's talking about. Some of the civil penalties that he describes are not necessarily biblical penalties, but the Westminster Assembly is here getting the idea that the kings have a duty to protect and preserve the church and to order the Ezras of the world to build the churches of the world, to build the house of God. The next verse is from Leviticus 24:16. This is suppressing blasphemies and heresies. He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Deuteronomy 13, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. If thou shalt hear say in one of the cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, and so forth, and basically, that the civil magistrate executes the punishment. 2 Kings 18:4, he removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Again, the example here is of the civil magistrate taking care to reform false religious practices in the church. A couple of larger sections here. which you can review in your spare time. Another verse, 2 Chronicles 34, 33. Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. 2 Chronicles 15, 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. The final section here, a final phrase of this section is, for the better effecting whereof, that is, reformation in the church, he has power to call synods, to be present at them, and to provide that whatsoever is transacted in them be according to the mind of God. So this is the civil magistrate calling assemblies of Christians to hammer out statements or understandings of the faith, and to make sure that what is transacted in these synods or assemblies or councils is transacted according to the mind of God. The example here is the Emperor Constantine calling the Council of Nicaea, a very important assembly in the history of the church, and the Westminster Assembly says that's the model which civil magistrates should follow. 2 Chronicles 19:8. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and you shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. And also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. So the king here is setting in place all of these Levites and other officers to conduct these businesses in church and state. Matthew 2:4, and when he, Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. This is an interesting proof text to prove that the civil magistrate has the power to call synods. Well, very interesting section, both historically and biblically, and we'll have some more when we look at section 4 of chapter 23 of the Westminster Confession of Faith tomorrow on day 114.